welcome to our first 2019 episode of Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of January 6th through January 12th. I'm your host, Cardzy B. As many of you already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I got my first tarot deck when I was 11, and I've turned that curiosity into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot. I hope you guys all had an incredible New Year's and are looking forward to 2019. As most of you know, we've moved out of 2018, the year of Justice and the High Priestess, into the year of 2019, aka the Hanged Man and the Empress. If you want to hear more about the numerology of this, you can go back to last week's episode, the overview of January and the year, episode 24. Anyway, with the Hanged Man and the Empress, we're in a great position to bring ideas and projects to fruition this year. We're also full-on in Capricorn season, which is basically giving us the you better work bitch vibes after we've had a more laid-back, celebratory December Sag season, which as a Sagittarius, you guys know I was really feeling December, so we're back in work mode now. January's cards of the month are the Magician, aka the Lady Gaga card, and this card represents putting energy out into the world and changing the way others see things. It represents potential and evolution. Just as Lady Gaga has been a game changer to pop culture, January is going to bring that successful forward motion of a goal or dream that you've been working on up to this point. And that's kind of like if you were, you know, in ideation phase in the Empress year of, the High Priestess year of 2018, you're really birthing that with the Empress and the Magician for 2019, and you've got the Magician again working for you in the month of January. So January's other card, Six of Cups, is the Nostalgia card. This is often a reconnection with an experience or energy of love that reminds you of happiness from your past. If you're like me, you may have already experienced this if you spent New Year's or the holidays with friends and family that you adore. To hear more in-depth info about the cards for January and for the 2019 overview, which I go through all of the months, again, you can go back to last week's episode. Now for the card of the week. Okay, Seven of Swords. This is an interesting one. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is a man kind of sneaking away from a military camp with five swords, and he's looking back at two he has right behind him. He seems to be smiling, showing he's kind of proud of what he just pulled off. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is Kim Kardashian. This card is all about acting strategically and often getting away with something, or at least being perceived as getting away with something. This card can be a warning that you have haters as a result of this. So this month could bring increased finances, increased kind of recognition, good things coming in, but it can also incite the jealousy of people around you. But whatevs, good problems to have. Who wouldn't want Kardashian abundance? Speaking of badass bitches that we love, this week's guest is an astrologist, tarot reader, soul empowerment coach, and creator of flamechild.com, Miss Taylor Reiner. Hey Taylor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so happy to speak with you. I'm such a fan of your site and your Instagram. And I'm interested because I know that you work with a lot of modalities. And I was kind of wondering, how did you first begin working with tarot and astrology? Did one of them come first, or did one kind of inspire your work in another?
Well, I definitely started with astrology first because, like, as a kid, I always read my horoscope. And always read my horoscope for years. And I mean, that was just kind of my introductory point to it. And by my late 20s, I started going through my spiritual awakening and needing any way I could to find answers to what the heck was going on with me. So I turned to learning about the moon cycles and learning more about astrology from there, like past just horoscopes, because I'm like, woo, horoscopes is, that's like the most like scratching the surface level of astrology you can have.
Oh, I have so much, I always say this when I speak with astrologists on the podcast, I have so much admiration because there are so many layers and levels and so much math and science is involved in astrology. So people that really are experts and astrologists in the field, I have so much admiration and respect for you guys.
Yeah, I have clients I work with, I pull their birth natal chart and I intuitively read their reports or their charts and write a report from that. Or I'll also host like a one-on-one session with them and like share my screen and I'm walking them through the chart And I guarantee it, they're like, what is, like, they have probably have no clue what I'm talking about. They're just looking for answers. But yeah, there's definitely a, there's so many layers and depths, as you said, to it. Like, if you want to look at North Node at your destined path and Chiron for healing, like, it's such a, I've learned that it's such a wonderful tool for self-discovery and healing and just prepping for just the cosmic energies every day.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that there is also kind of a lot linked from astrology to tarot, because I'm a tarot reader, and that's my background since I was young. And I've learned astrology through, it's kind of the reverse, through tarot, of the cards having astrological rulings and diving more deeply into that. So is that kind of how you then became a tarot reader, is through your astrological path?
I became a tarot reader because I accidentally stumbled across information about spiritual awakening, and I found it through just the terminology twin flame. And from there, like, I saw where people were posting videos on YouTube about the energies and using tarot. And I was super resistant to it because I grew up in a very religious background and religious family where it was pretty much taught that tarot was satanic. And anything dealing with the energies. So it wasn't until 2017 that I bought my Rider-Waite deck, and I started using it just to build my intuition and to allow myself to move past those limiting beliefs that were placed upon me. And it's given me this whole new perspective to everything too. And it's such a wonderful tool to use.
I love that. That's, it's funny. I think that a lot of people have kind of an intimidation around it, whether it's from a religious background or kind of like that whole like metaphysical occult unknown surrounding mm-hmm. tarot. But it is such an incredible healing tool. And that's really, I learned when I was quite young, but I kind of delved deeper into it when I was in a dark period in my life and found it incredibly healing and affirmative. And that's kind of how I then became a professional reader and teaching and doing more events around it. So I think that that's beautiful, that that's kind of the how you got involved in tarot and began reading as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you start flamechild.com, and what was your goal in using that as a platform?
Well, I started Flamechild because I needed some form of creative outlet to make sense of what I was going through with my own spiritual awakening, with my twin flame journey. And I've always loved writing. That has been my initial way of connecting to my intuition, which I did not realize how you can channel so much with writing. And through that, I was able to almost use it to heal myself and connect with others. And by February 2018, I accidentally got my first client for a one-on-one session. And just from there, like, that's where it really sparked, from just writing a blog, which I still keep up with my blog weekly, to wanting to work with people one-on-one using tarot and using oracle cards and using astrology to heal, because it's almost like I've been my lab rat essentially, and I found ways to really step into my own power and personal development. I just wanted to help people do the same thing.
That's incredible. And I think that using a combination of those modalities is even more empowering. And like I said, I find that very much with tarot, but even as I've started reading more and more, I've worked in aspects of astrology and numerology. So I think that that's, you can kind of customize per client with that too. So I think that that's such a cool approach. One of the things I wanted to ask, because we're now just launching into 2019, do you have, and speaking of working with these different modalities, do you have any recommendations for practices or rituals we can work into our daily routine to kind of help increase that connection and intuition?
Yeah. So as I said, I've always loved writing, and I think automatic writing and journaling and putting pen to paper is one of the most profound and most simple and cheap ways to connect with yourself, to connect with source or the universe, whatever you resonate with, and just really build a level of personal understanding and self-awareness. And along with that, I feel like being able to use divination tools like tarot and oracle to really just sit with yourself in like a quiet space and reflect on what's going on with you for that day, or something to keep in mind throughout the day to keep yourself aware of yourself, I guess, throughout the day, is a very important practice.
Yeah, I love that. I love the, and I've had several readers and authors, Sasha Graham was just on and recommending that you pull, you know, a tarot card in the morning for your day. And I think that that's a really good, when you were saying working with divination as part of your routine is a really kind of good way to set an intent for the day as well. Mm-hmm. In addition to tarot and then kind of traditional more natal chart readings, you also offer some other modalities and healing services, including soul retrieval. Can you tell us a little more about the process and benefits of soul retrieval? Because I've read about it. I've heard some clients and friends that have worked with it, but I've never personally experienced the process. So I'd love to hear, and I'm sure our listeners would as well, hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So soul retrieval essentially is a process that helps you to find your like missing soul fragments, because that's where the feeling of separation comes from, is where we have these soul fragments left back in past memories, past lives, if you know that's something you resonate with, where you've experienced trauma or pain, and every time, and you know, it'll become triggered in the present moment, but it's really that fragmentation of your soul that is left in a different time, space, and dimension, essentially being in the past. So with soul retrieval, it's all about bringing wholeness back to yourself. And I accidentally learned about this. I just kept hearing the words soul retrieval, soul retrieval, soul retrieval in my mind for like a month or so. And I decided to just Google it because I was like, I don't know what this is. And it links up to shamanic practices, which I'm currently enrolled in a shamanic course right now. So it's, you know, I'm not on the shaman level of being able to do shamanic journeying, but I am learning about like the medicine wheel and just different ways to help walk us back to the core of our pain to help free us from those past pains, essentially.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I work with a shamanic healer.
Really?
Myself, and I find that the work that I do with him is so impactful. And it's something that has been incredibly cathartic, but also just opening and expansive to things I didn't necessarily understand or may have felt, but didn't have a grasp around. So I think that I would love to be able to do more work with soul retrieval. That sounds beautiful. You also do, you post a lot about on Instagram and other arenas about twin flame journeying. So is that part of like shamanic practices as well, or is this another process, and what exactly does your twin flame coaching involve?
Yeah, so just the twin flame coaching itself is just providing that line of support and that objective person for people who are experiencing the twin flame journey, because it has, since I found out about it, which was by accident, I just saw the word randomly online one day and felt the need to search it, but it's such a quick advanced version, I feel like, of spiritual awakening, that it's very intense, and it does require a level of having that support system there. So that's, I didn't have a lot of support through the journey. I've been, as I said, my own lab rat. So with my twin flame coaching services, I help people to create self-awareness by pulling the focus, because they're focusing on this person outside of themselves and looking for answers in them. And it's just really bringing them back to self and helping them to create a practical mindset reframing practices to help them honestly find, or I guess retain their soul fragments again. It is almost like a soul retrieval in a sense. I mean, that's how I look at healing on a deeper level anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Is that something with the twin flame coaching, is that something that only applies if you have connected with your twin flame in this life and you're working with that energy? Or is that if you are single as well and seeking that, is it applicable to both?
I think it's applicable to anyone, because with twin flames, it really comes down to healing your inner divine masculine and inner divine feminine energy. And honestly, that can hit and like resonance with anyone because everyone carries those energies. So I don't turn anyone away who hasn't met the person they feel is their twin flame. I worked with people who haven't met their twin flame and they're just wanting to, the term resonates with them, the experience resonates with them on their soul level. And it's just helping them to gain more insight within themselves and heal. So yeah. Anyone.
No, I love that. Yeah. Cause I don't know that I've met mine in this lifetime. And I definitely, the term does resonate with me. I believe in twin flames. I hope that I, you know, connect with mine in this lifetime, mm-hmm. but that's, yeah, it was just asking for the other single people out there. Like if you haven't or uncertain that you have connected, it's still a process that you feel is healing and just as impactful.
Yes.
Awesome. Definitely. Yeah, I would love to learn more about that as well, on a like individual basis. So these are the questions that I ask everybody on the podcast, and I always like to get the answers from people that do read tarot because I find them kind of a little juicier and more interesting. Do you have a favorite tarot card and why?
Yes. So ever since I got my deck, I love the full card, like to the point I wanted to go to a tattoo parlor and have it tattooed somewhere. Like I saw that card and I always connect with it so much, and maybe it's my Sagittarius rising, but I love the vibrant, curious energy that comes along with the Fool. Like he's ready to go. He's not second guessing it. He goes. And when I tap into my Sagittarius energy, I mean, I feel like the Fool card, probably stumbling along, making mistakes, but learning the whole journey. So love that card.
That's so fun. Yeah. I'm Sagittarius sun sign and Aries rising. And I love that card as well. Cause I think Sagittarians are often like ready, fire, aim, and they're just go. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna make mistakes, but I'm gonna learn from it. And I love the energy of that card. So that's a good one. And you're actually the first person to choose that. So I love
really?
That.
Really?
yeah. What is your, do you have a least favorite card that when you pull it for yourself or get it for yourself in a reading that you're like, not that one?
Yeah, this is kind of weird. I guess because I've never felt like I truly connected with the card, and that is the Hierophant, which is funny because I'm a Taurus sun. So I was thinking about that when I was looking over some of the questions you sent me, and I was like, wow, am I just rejecting a side of myself? Is that what it is? But there's something about the stiff, traditional, structured energy of the card that I don't connect with.
Yeah, it's funny because in the traditional, like Smith Rider Waite, it's kind of this Pope-like figure, right?
Yeah.
And it's like I you know, when I learned to read, I learned with a deck derived from Smith Rider Waite that was pretty traditional, and I always felt that too. And in the deck that I created, I made it Oprah because I feel like it's, you know, it often involves life lessons. It can be structure, it can be things you need to like learn and move through. And because I love Oprah, it kind of made me have a little bit more affinity for the card. It's still like a challenging one. I totally agree. And it rules all the fives, which like fives are not fun in the minor arcana for sure. Right. But I try to like take Oprah vibes from that of like, okay, it's an aha moment. It's a life lesson that we're going to go through. And even if it's, you know, not pleasant, there's going to be light on the other side of it. But I definitely agree that that's a challenging card.
And it's funny. I was actually, before thinking of the Hierophant, it was the five cards that I dislike, which I'm learning to understand them in a different manner because five is a number of change. So if you look at the cards, it's like, it's all about perspective. You can either see the light or the dark of the card itself. So it's, you know, I'm learning to work with the five cards.
Yes. You know, it's funny. And I think it's like when you have a friend that's going through something, it's easier to be objective and see the light in it. And when it's you, it's harder. Cause when I don't know if you're like this, when I read for clients, I always say that I'm like, it's a perspective card, you know, it's how you move through it. It's what you choose to focus on in this energy. And then when I get it myself, I'm like, no, not the fives.
Exactly.
But I am so similarly, I feel like I'm better at like, counseling other people through them than myself, but I'm working on that as well. But I love that answer. And then my last question, and maybe this is the same as the first question about the cards, because you do identify with the Fool, but is there a card that you feel you embody or that you are the essence of?
Yeah. So every time I pull either the Empress or the Nine of Pentacles, I love those cards. Like when I'm like having one of those days, you wake up, like your makeup's on point, your hair is perfect, and you walk out the door and you're just like sashaying. Immediately I see the Empress card or the Nine of Pentacles in my mind. It's that Beyonce vibe that I love, love, love.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I love that. And I love that we're in the year of the Empress now for 2019. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to allow a lot of people to kind of bring things to life and stand in their power. So I am very excited for that transition.
Agreed.
So in addition to, I'm going to put all of this in the notes to the podcast, flamechild.com and your Instagram at flamechild1111 and your YouTube channel. Is there anything else coming up that you're working on that you want us to know about? And do you do one-on-one sessions, even if people don't live by you? Can you do like Skype or FaceTime?
Yeah. So I primarily work with people all across the world. So I do like Zoom meetings typically, or I've done like pre-recorded readings and sessions for people. So that's the funny thing. Like I'm hoping to branch out and work with people like one-on-one in person where I live, but primarily an online entrepreneur right now.
Okay, great. Well, I'm excited to hear that because I work very similarly and we also have listeners from all over. So I'm going to, I'm going to link it in this episode and put it on my social media. So definitely check out flamechild.com. She's incredible. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. I know you're super busy. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for inviting me. I've had fun.
Yeah, me too. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
How awesome is Taylor? I love her. If you haven't already, check out flamechild.com and her Instagram at flamechild1111. So this week, we have a coming out of the spiritual closet story that I'm sure many of us can relate to. I know I certainly can. Nicole from Boston writes, "Hi Cardsy, I feel a little better about this because other listeners have shared similar experiences, but oh my God, let me tell you guys, it's worse than a hotel. I was skiing with my boyfriend's family in Aspen and I had a fight with him at dinner. I came back to the room and saged the room and myself to cleanse and reset before meditating, and the fire alarm went off and two members of the hotel staff came banging on my door. It was so, so embarrassing. Has this ever happened to you? Do you have any recommendations how to clear energy in a hotel without causing a 5-alarm fire?" Oh my God. Yes and yes. So I have done this and caused a similar reaction in my high-rise apartment, as some of you might remember. And yes, for hotels, I recommend a sage spray. And these are available at a lot of metaphysical shops. There's also a great one called Heritage Brand Aura Smudge, and that's available on jet.com and also Amazon, I think. So that's great when you're traveling. You can get a small one for under 4 ounces, and it's a spray versus something that you have to light that generates smoke and can cause a whole, you know, staff coming to your door situation. I have to say, Nicole, thank you for sharing. Though it may have been traumatic, that's a good tip for everyone. So because of that, I'm going to give you a free reading for your trauma. Hit me up on Messenger on Instagram or through badassbitchestarot.com to schedule a time for your free reading. All right, so before we head out, to quickly recap, this month we have the Magician, who brings in exciting new things to fruition that might have been in the works up until this point. Think Lady Gaga vibes. We also have the Six of Cups, bringing us love and connection reminiscent of a happy time from our past. So yay for January, good things coming in. This week we have the card of the week being Seven of Swords, a strategic victory that could be perceived as shady, but ignore the haters on this one and just enjoy the win. Don't forget to check out the new Instagram Live segment, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions to get a free live mini reading. I want to apologize to everyone who tuned in last week for the bad sound quality. We had this fab location. I was reading live with my best friend from a bathtub at this beautiful hotel, the Windsor Arms Toronto, but the Wi-Fi was causing some problems with the sound. So thanks for those of you who still tuned in, who asked some great questions and got some readings live. But don't worry, I have my mic back with me this week. Sound's going to be a lot clearer. I'm back in Manhattan. So tune in 8 p.m. on Sunday tonight. Also, I have some great events coming up, including Friday night starting at 10:30 p.m. at Slate on 21st Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. An awesome night. It's fun with burlesque performers, suspension artists. Last week even had an 80-year-old contortionist. So it's definitely worth checking out, and I will be there doing readings until 11:30 p.m. If you're looking for an incredible spring retreat, I'm also a featured reader at Rise Gathering. This is the weekend of May 31st to June 2nd. You can get $100 off with code CARDSY, C-A-R-D-S-Y, 2019 at risegatherings.com. Follow CardsyB on Instagram and BadassBitchesTarot.com for more events coming, because I'm always adding new things throughout New York, some in LA, and even Toronto throughout the year. So stay posted. All right, guys, happy 2019. And as always, stay magical AF.